Thank you very much. Take your seats. Yes, thank you, Lord God, for everything that you are to us. Thank you, Lord God, that you give us the peace, you give us the joy, you give us everything that we've been talking about today already, that you never leave us, you never forsake us. Amen. Okay, so for those, I've already been introduced, but yeah, my name is Christian, and if you haven't seen me before here, I have been speaking quite a few times here actually now, I think. I don't know how many times I've been invited back. I am also, in my spare time, a maths teacher at Shrewsbury School, so I may just throw in a few maths. I won't really. Don't look at me like that. A few maths questions. So there we are. Just to spice it up, because I feel that people like to do maths, don't they? No? You love it. You love it, do you? That's great. Well, don't test me. I want to start off with a question, actually, and we'll begin with this, actually. The question is this: what do you want God to do most? Okay, if Jesus was to walk in through that door now, and you could ask him one thing, he could do one thing, what would that one thing be? What would it be? I mean, it could be for yourself, it could be for somebody else. I don't mind, I'm not saying it's a selfish prayer or not, whatever it is. And I'm going to give you a minute to think about this. So I'm not going to talk now. Isn't it a minute long time when no one's talking? Yeah. That was about 15 seconds, I think. Possibly longer. I could ask you. Do you want me to ask? Does anyone want to share, or do you want to keep it private? You want to keep it private, don't you? All right. Second question. Do you think God wants it? This is where someone's going. It was a Lamborghini, I'm not sure. Does God want what you've just been thinking through there? Do you think God wants it as well? So, you do. Right. Okay, that's good. Got a positive. A few nodding of heads here. Some people are still not quite sure whether God wants the thing that they want. But that's interesting. Okay. So that's good. I mean, as long, I don't know what you've been thinking. I don't know what your thought was just then. But if your thought was... not like getting the latest iPhone 6 or something like that. I talked to teenagers all week. So that would probably be the thing that they'd be asking Jesus for if he came into the room. But if it wasn't that, you know, or a bigger house or a bigger car or whatever, a lot of people are thinking things along the lines of that they'd like to see their friends come into the kingdom. They'd like to see healings, they'd like to see people getting well, they'd like to see people being restored, being made whole. They'd like to see this stuff happen, yeah, for themselves or for other people. And then to say, do you think God wants it as well? It kind of clarifies in your mind a little bit what God's after, what God wants. Because effectively, all these things that we talk about, God wants more. Yeah, if you're talking right now about one of your friends, one of your family, not walking with him at the moment, and you're like, man, it would be really good if they were walking with God, it would be really good if they were in God's kingdom right now. God wants it a lot more than we want it. Do you get that? God's actually, his heart is a lot more for them being restored to him than ours is. Even though we may feel it a lot more. Even if it's one of your children, especially, you're thinking, oh man, it'd be so good if they were walking with God. If that's the situation, and you're like looking at them going, that it would be really good, God wants it a lot more. And it's difficult for us to understand that sometimes, but that's his desire, that's his heart. It's a lot more. I mean, when Jesus first came to the planet, when he entered into ministry, the first things he started to do were healings. And sometimes we go and we're ill for a long time, and we forget that God likes to heal. He loves it. That's what he does. He loves to heal. But we can kind of get into this mindset of, well, God might not want to do it. Yeah. Okay. But he does want to do it. He loves to do it. That's almost the biggest stumbling block for a lot of people, is that they think, well, it might not be his will. Some people have prayed, and I've heard it prayed, oh, if it's your will, heal this person. Yeah, well, I used to pray like that, and nothing happened. Honestly, nothing happens. Because it's like, well, you may as well just go, well, whatever. It's a whatever prayer, yeah? And it doesn't really happen. So what is it? What is it that causes God's kingdom to come and his will to be done? What is it that makes that happen? This is over to you now, because I haven't got the answer. No, I have, but I just like to keep you on your toes a little bit. What is it that causes God's kingdom to come and his will to be done?
Faith.
Brilliant. That's the thing. It's like near the start of the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? Yeah, God's saying, Jesus comes in and says, this is how you to pray. And straight away, pretty much, after our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Yeah, that's the thing. Everything that's about God coming to earth, everything that's about his will being done on this earth, everything that's about the things that are bugging you right now, he wants to do as well. Everything that he wants to sort out, you and you want sorted out, it's a connection heart there that's taking place. The things that are causing you to get hurt every day, the things that are burdening you every day, he wants to be sorted out even more. They bother God more than they bother you. And that is really important that we understand that before we go any further. Because it's very easy to think that if it's not sorted out, God's indifferent about it. That God doesn't really care that much. Because, hey, God could do anything, couldn't he? He could just snap his fingers and everything would be sorted out. So why doesn't he bother? Yeah, am I right? Yeah. That's generally the way that we'll start to think, because we'll start putting God into this kind of like, well, he can do anything he wants, he's God, and if it's not sorted out, he doesn't care, and then we're into this situation. And I haven't got time to unravel the whole healing doctrines, all the rest of it, if you're waiting for something right now, but you are right when you said to me, it is faith, it's faith-filled prayer, to see things change, to see things happen, to see things make a difference on the planet. And there's a big difference between when we pray in faith and we pray, I don't want to use the word hope, because I like the word hope as well, but when we pray kind of, well, maybe. Do you know what I mean? It's a maybe prayer. It's, well, maybe you'll do it, maybe you won't. And we can pray for something to happen, but we're not really expecting much to happen. In fact, most prayers are, you know, just, can you keep everything the same? That'd be good. You know, I'd be happy with that, actually. Just, you know, just as it is, it's good, and we'll live with that. We'll cope. Let me just cope. I'll be all right with just coping. And there's this almost this element where we're not expecting God to move too much as long as we can make it through the day. Hebrews 11 verse 1. It's not. I don't think they're all going to come up there, I'm afraid. So you'll either have to trust me that I'm speaking out the truth, or you can get your Bible out. But Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. So you don't see it, just like the blindfold, yeah? But it's there. The cake is there. And you've just got to be confident that it's there, that the truth is there, the promise is there, and whatever it is. It's being confident in what we're looking for. And you know I will pray, and I'll even offer it out again today, and you know I'll do that. But when I've been praying for healings, I didn't always pray for healings. I didn't do it because I didn't think God wanted to do it very often, because I didn't see it. Actually, I didn't. That was the way it was. I didn't pray for people to be made well because I didn't see them being made well when I prayed for it. I just go, God, yeah, pray for people, he'll be healed, amen. I mean, yeah. And in my heart, I'm like, yeah, right, what? Now it's going to happen. And I didn't expect anything. And it took a long, long conversation with a friend. He just went to the Bible and went, look, what happens? Did Jesus ever pray for anyone and they not get better? Really? And you go, all right, no, I suppose not. And he went through all these things. And in the end, I became convinced that actually, yeah, Jesus actually was keen to heal people. And it's the same yesterday, today and forever, yeah? So he's still keen to heal today. So it just changed me. And from overnight, I went from not seeing any healings to seeing absolute tons. And I won't lie, I don't see everyone healed. when I pray for them. I would probably put 10% into the miraculous, 10% into the I don't see anything happen, and then 80% in the there's a major shift. There's something does happen. It's not like a complete restoration, but there's a major acceleration in what takes place. And that seems to be the majority of it. And I'd love to bring you a doctrine out of that, but I'm not going to bring a doctrine out of experience, because that's not what we should do. We should look to the Word. We should look to what it says in the Bible about what God's about and what He wants. But it's faith that's the conduit. It's the faith that draws the power from God. It's faith that looks to God and is expecting to see God move. And if we are trusting and expecting God to move, we're going to see God move a lot more than if we're not expecting that to happen. Yeah? If we're not expecting Him to move, we're not going to see Him move. If we're going, yeah, well, it's just not going to happen, is it? Nothing will happen if that's what you're expecting. And it's a hard place to keep putting yourself into, I guess, when you're being constantly disappointed. But faith hangs on. Faith comes by hearing. Romans 10 says faith comes by hearing. So the girl that was going through and trying to navigate the chair and everything else, if she hadn't been hearing, in the end she'd have fallen over so many chairs and obstacles that she would have given up. Yeah. That's what happens, isn't it? She'd have been on the floor. In the end she'd have stopped believing probably that was a cake even in the room. She'd have fallen into so many things that were there. Faith comes by hearing. We have to constantly hear God, constantly listen, constantly be reading the Word, constantly be just drawing from what He's saying to us, just to keep ourselves believing for the things that He's promising. Genesis 15, verse 1 to 6 is very, very good for an explanation of what was going on with this. And it's God talking to Abraham before he's got children. And he says this: after this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham, at this point, in a vision. Do not be afraid. Interesting. Can I just start on that? I just love that. Do not be afraid. Do you know how many times the phrase, do not be afraid, turns up in the Bible? You got it. Did I say that before, last time I was here? I may have done. I love that. 365. You're not allowed to be afraid. It's a command. Apart from on leap years. So you get a day off on a leap year. But do not be afraid. I think that's good. Do not be afraid. 365 times. That's good. Anyway, do not be afraid. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abraham said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son who is in your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it him to him as righteousness. So the question is, what do you see? Do you see a problem that cannot be overcome? I am childless. It's not going to happen. Or do you see a God that can overcome anything through you? Because that's the perspective at this point that we've got to choose. What Abraham had to decide at that point is, what was he going to look at? Was he going to look at his own circumstances, his own situation, which had been like that for decades? It had been a long time in this situation. Or was he going to believe that God could do this? And it's especially difficult, if you've been believing God to move for a long time in a specific area. And the hurts and the disappointments that come with that, when you're looking and you're hoping and you're believing and you're praying that God will move in something and it's not quite happening, or there's small breakthroughs but they don't seem to be fulfilling their way through all the time, and the hurts that come with that are very, very horrible, and that's not a nice thing to have to go through at all. And I'm never, ever, ever belittling that. But faith is a fight. We need to keep fighting the fight. We need to keep holding on in the middle of that battleground and keep on believing for the things that God's got for us. And not to shrink back and not to get disappointed and not to say, well, we will get disappointed at times, but not to give up and say, well, that's it. It's not going to happen. But to keep on going, to keep on going, to keep on going. There are some tremendous people in history that say that failure is not falling on the ground. The failure is not giving up. The failure is not getting up again. And those are the people that go on and do things, yeah? Because you will get knocked down. You will get thrown to the ground. These things happen in life as well as in faith. And you will get knocked over. But it's about getting up again and giving it another go. And getting up again and giving it another go. If you watch sport, apart from football, because they do just fall over in football and don't get up. But in rugby, if they fall over, they don't just go, oh, that's it. They get up and they go, give me the ball back. Yeah? And they get going again. They get going again. And it's about that. And we do take hits, and I get that. But we keep getting up. And we keep on going. And we keep on going. And it might be that today is a bad day, or the week, or the year, or whatever. But God's not given up on you. And God's not given up on His promise. And God's not given up on the things that He wants to do in your life. And there's a tremendous inheritance that's there for us if we keep on holding out for what He's got for us. Jesus promised life in all its fullness. And this is not the end of it. This is not it in completion yet. He's got so much more that He could have. Abraham saw the God of the impossible. But how? How did he do that? What did he see? How did he do this? There was something that was going on with Abraham that enabled him to see that all things were possible. And it was that whole thing. And it comes in two areas. He says, look at the stars. If you can count them, so will your descendants be. And in another area, when he's talking to him again, because he's needing a bit of encouragement, he says, look at the sand. Look at the grains of the sand, if you can count them. So will your descendants be. And what he's saying to him at this point, well, just stop a second and think, where does he live? Where does Abraham live? In the desert. How much sand's in the desert? Quite a bit. Right. And we're going quite a few millennia back in time. So how much light pollution was there in those days? Not much. All right. So how many stars do you reckon was it he could see? Quite a lot, yeah? There must have been quite a few in night time. And how much sand was he seeing? Quite a lot as well. Every day, every night time, what was he seeing? He was seeing God's promise. He kept on seeing God's promise. Every day, he'd look at the sand. Every day, oh yeah, that's how many are going to be my descendants. Every night, just going out for a wander, just going out to just have a little walk through the desert at night. Just have a look up at the stars. That's my descendants in the future. And this keeps coming back to keeping his faith alive, keeping his faith alive. Because the years kept going on and nothing was happening, was it? To the end, his wife says to him, why don't you just sleep with my... I mean, that's just getting even more ridiculous, isn't it? Why don't you sleep with my servant? It's like, well, yeah, all right then. But I mean, I'm not advocating that, obviously. But this is where it was going. It must have been getting ridiculous. And so he's there saying, but he kept the promise in front of him. He kept it alive. The faith kept alive because he kept hearing. And he kept hearing, and he kept hearing. And you have to keep hearing if you're going to keep yourself going in that way. I've not had a great week this week. Can we talk about me for a while? Is that all right? You don't mind, do you? I've not had a great week. I found this week, I've just got really busy. I've just been incredibly busy this week. It's just been mad. And if you're anything, I don't know if you like me or not, but I got to the end of the day and the kids were in bed and it's like about 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night. And I'm like, I'm just shattered. Just put something on the telly. I don't care what it is. We've got Netflix at the moment. I just put something on Netflix. Stuff it. Let's just put junk on the telly. Just watched that. Went to bed. And I just hadn't been spending time reading the word. Do you know what I mean? I just got a little bit out of it, a little bit. And so I was getting little disappointments throughout the day. Things were happening during the day, and they were really hitting me, really hard. And then I was like, coming home, going, feeling really rubbish. Going, God, this happened at school today. I can't believe it. And my wife's like, going, oh, that's bad. Yeah, yeah. But I wouldn't normally have reacted like that. And towards the end of the week, I started reading the Word again, a little bit more, which you'd be grateful for because I was preaching, obviously. And so I started reading the Word and got a lot more into it. And all of a sudden, the strength to batter away the disappointments was amazing. Because the disappointments got worse as the week went on. I won't tell you what they were. You're all like, I wonder what was going on. But the disappointments were getting worse and worse throughout the week, and as far as it went, but I was just able to deal with it a lot more because I'd just been spending time in God's Word again. I'd just been spending, and my faith was just getting more and more encouraged, more and more strengthened, just on a general level. I wasn't processing anything at all. I was just felt stronger to deal with the stuff of life that was being chucked at me. I suppose that was the best way of putting it. Yeah, it was just that things were being thrown at me, and instead of dealing with it in a very emotional kind of bang, that's whacked me again, I was just able to stand a little bit taller, a little bit stronger, and say, hang on a minute now, I don't need to have to worry about this. And God was just, I just knew he was just in, I guess that was it, I knew he was in me, and I knew that I could deal with the things that were being chucked at me. And it was just an encouragement, that just to stay focused on the Word, to stay focused on the fact that by allowing his Word to dwell in our hearts, it will help us to stand stronger inside. Yeah, I'm not legalistically going, oh, I'm going to spend an hour reading the Bible. But just dwell on it, meditate, and maybe just pick a verse for the whole day. And just, you know, churn it over in your head. And that's all you're going to do for the whole day. I mean, not you're going to do the day, but, you know, you just keep bringing your mind back to that verse. And just, yeah, there's a lot of strength in that. So the seeing is believing. Have you heard that phrase before? Seeing is believing. That's true, I think. I think there's a lot in that. Because of, you know, Abraham being an amazing example, that the more he saw, the more he believed. The more he saw, the more he actually believed it. There's something in the seeing of it. There's something in that you see something happening. It may not actually be your circumstance right now. It may not be your reality right now. But if you can see it with the eyes of your heart, if you can imagine what it'll look like when you're there or when your friends are there or whatever it is, then you can call it into being. You can see that. You can say, that's where God wants it to be. That's God's reality. That's what I would like. That's what he would like. And you start praying into that in faith. And you can start speaking that out. You can declare freedom over people if you want. Yeah, if people are snared up in something, you start speaking freedom into somebody. That's quite powerful. Yeah, you can do that. And that can make a difference, make a huge difference. When I was much younger and had hair on my head, I used to lead the youth at my church. And one of my beefs was that they weren't engaging in worship in church. They didn't want to worship. Do you know what I mean? It was, this is just boring for them. And I thought, actually, it's quite adult, the worship here. I didn't think it was really where they were at. So what I did was I set up a ministry called Exalt, which was a youth worship event. And we started going. We had a decent band in, and it was useless. The first one, nobody worshipped. And I just kept on praying. That was all I could do, just kept on praying. And I just kept on seeing, in my mind, the youth with their hands raised high, worshipping God. Reality was they weren't doing it, but I kept on praying. I kept on speaking it out. I kept on saying, this is what you want, God. Of course he wants the youth to be worshipping. So I kept on praying. I kept on, this is where you want them. This is what you want. You want them to be worshipping. You want them to be engaged in a full relationship with you. You want that. And the more I prayed, the more I could feel that we were breaking things down as a team. And then as it got on, the event didn't get better that much, but things were happening spiritually to the youth that they were then engaging with God on a different way. And then in the end, they were going for it. They were loving it. They were loving the experience of engaging with God and encountering God. It was only a monthly basis that we were running this thing, but it made such a difference to them at that time. It did such a good thing. But it all started with that dream of seeing them in that place, and then speaking it, and then praying it. Just that's what I want for them. That's what God wants for them. So you can pray that. You can pray it because that's what God wants. Every day I pray for my students. Every single day I pray for them to experience him. They don't know that's what they're being prayed for. Don't tell them. But but that's what, you know, they're coming into my room, they're getting taught math and they're experiencing God. Win-win. Bang. And they actually enjoy coming in. Bizarrely. I mean, who enjoys coming into a math lesson? Yeah? Not many. But this is set of, I mean, I don't know. Maybe you did. I don't know. Maybe you still do. I don't know. I'm not knocking maths. Obviously, I'm a maths teacher. But, I mean, some of these are set fours, low down set fours. And they're coming in going, I love this lesson. I never used to, but I love these lessons. And I've had non-Christians say to people, there's like a glow coming out of your room. I mean, what does that mean? But obviously, they're experiencing something in there. And I'm just praying that they feel God, they sense Him. And I know they won't get it. I know they won't. It'll be under the radar for them. And they won't go, wow, I'm having an epiphany that Jesus Christ is speaking through you, sir. But at the same time, they will have an experience of the love of God in that place. And that'll be warming their hearts up for the gospel. That'll be warming their hearts up. That'll be opening them up for something exciting in the future. I do also pray that they enjoy the Mass. And they tend to, weirdly, as you know, you can do that. You know, it's good times. Where are we at? Martin, you'd like to finish at 7:30, don't you? Yes, we can. Sorry? That's what you aim for. Yeah, this is everyone now going, just let me go. Right. I kind of said it already. If you are wanting to do a bit of homework, Mark 2, verses 1 to 5 is where this comes from. But it's basically, I think it's important for some people to know this, that your faith can move other people's mountains. Okay? Now, if you don't know where I got that from, that's in Mark chapter 2. But we often hear our faith can move our mountains. Yeah? Oh, yeah. So I can move my own stuff. But this is about the paralyzed man going down through the roof. And Jesus looked at their faith. He didn't look at the paralyzed man's faith. He looked at their faith. And he healed the paralyzed man. Not based on the paralyzed man's faith, but based on his friend's faith. His friends took him through a roof, all the obstacles that there was, took him to Jesus, and Jesus went, right, you're forgiven and you're healed. Okay? Get your doctrine around that if you can, but the point being that your faith can move other people's mountains. Your faith can do stuff in other people. Yeah? So you can see major breakthroughs. You can see absolutely phenomenal breakthroughs in your friends, in your family's lives, by praying into them, by speaking positively into the atmospheres over them. Yeah, as you pray, you can declare, as I said before, you can declare freedom over them, you can declare salvation over them, and all the rest of it. And you see God moving in their life and breaking through the rubbish and restoring relationships and restoring marriages and restoring all the rubbish that's there and making them whole and making them good and making them free. Because God just needs faith to move through people. Yeah? And it can be your faith. It doesn't have to be theirs. When I got healed, when I was 22 years of age, I thought the guy was nuts. And I was just going to make an excuse. I'd fallen down the basement. My back was wrecked. And I was like, okay, you can pray for it, but now it's going to happen. That was my faith. It was at zero. He believed. He prayed for it. And it got all the way better. I got scared. I admit at that point, and that's how I became a Christian. But your faith can do a huge amount on this planet, more than we ever really realize, I think. And it's important that we understand what's going on with that. So, yeah, that's it. Prayer of a righteous man is powerful and avails much. There you go, and woman. So we're going to do the whole daffodil thing in a second. If you want, I will offer this out as a whole thing. If you want prayer to impart a fresh life into you today, so this will be done after the service. But if you want a fresh life, a fresh touch from God, a fresh vision, new energy. If you walk with God, a spark to ignite a passion for God. These were the things that were coming to me as I was thinking about the ministry section. For walking with faith. To impart a faith, a fresh faith, to believe for far more. A fresh expectancy. to believe for far more than you currently believe for, then please come to the front. I'd love to pray for you. God desires that. That's what he wants for each and every one of us. He wants us to walk with him in all its fullness, life in all its fullness. And stuff gets us down, yeah? Whether it's illnesses, whether it's life and obstacles and the things that come there. He wants to remove those burdens and he wants to make us well and whole. And he wants to make us free. I did have a word for an arm. Healing of an arm, but there's also healing for anything. So I do mention these things specifically, but I'll pray for healing for anything, as always. Do you want to take over from me at this point on all the...
Thank you.
So we'll get off here. Thank you very much.
Right.